I've got an extension lead. I don't know about you, but I prepared this earlier. Anyone ever had an extension lead that they asked their children to wrap up and put away for them? Or perhaps you've got an apprentice and you say, can you just put this away? And it comes out and it looks something like this, right? Has anyone ever had that moment where you go to grab your extension lead and you're like, you're really, and it always comes at the worst possible time, doesn't it? You've got a flat battery and you need to get the battery charger, so you've got to dig through your shed, and no doubt your wife has put the battery charger in the most awkward position ever, or your children. Well, we won't blame wives today, everyone. Look at your wife, say you get a day off. And then you get your battery charger and you finally get it all plugged in, and then you go to get your lead and it just looks, it looks like an apprentice on acid wrapped it all up, doesn't it? Like it's just a mess. And so you reach out to try and plug it in, and you ever got to that point where you're kind of like, yeah, and then you fall short. You get stuck and you're like, what the heck is going on? What a piece of junk. And if you're anything like me, you're really calm. You just go, oh, well, I'll just go. Has anyone ever experienced this before? Like where it gets like that? Anyone? And what's the first, when you get to this point, what's the first thing you do? You get to here and you're like, why isn't it reaching? Yes? Yeah? What? Why isn't it reaching? Why can't it do what I want it to do? Why can't you do what you are? I don't know about you, but if you're like me, I get exceptionally frustrated over inanimate objects. So things that can't answer me back, I'm like, this is you over there. Go there. That's your job. You have one. You know, anyone do that sort of thing? Does anyone get angry with this, or is this, do I actually need extra counseling and prayer? Because I feel like that's me. And so you go to take it and you go to put it there, and you know what it's designed for. You know what it's supposed to do. You know what it's capable of doing. And all of a sudden, it's just not doing it. Oh, I feel better about today already, I tell you. Anyone ever got so caught up in their story that they forget where they were going? No, I'm just... I think the lead is an exceptional metaphor for life. And it's the leads that I want to talk about this morning, because I think these leads are an incredible metaphor for each and every human life. Let me give you a couple of things. Number one, in case you didn't know, this lead was created. It wasn't an accident. It didn't just miraculously fall out of the sky. There wasn't a nothing that collided with another nothing and then suddenly a lead turned up. This lead was created. Somebody planned this lead. Somebody had a purpose for this lead. Somebody determined, predetermined the length of this lead. Somebody predetermined what this lead could accomplish. Somebody had something in mind with this lead. And I'm going to say that's a beautiful metaphor for your life. There is not one person here who is here by accident. There is not one person here who wasn't created with a purpose. There is not one person here who wasn't supposed to connect to a purpose, a divine purpose, a heavenly purpose that you were created for. I'm going to ask my beautiful assistant, Courtney, give her a hand to come on up. Here she comes. See, here's the divine purpose. I want you to take that over there. Because this is how they're meant to work. They're meant to just unravel. And in fact, you know what? I'm going to say, when it comes to divine purpose, I'll come back to you. There is more than enough to do what this was created to do. There is more than enough length. There is more than enough power flowing through this lead. There is, everyone say, more than enough. There's more than enough. And the problem is that when we come to our lives, sometimes we go, I know I am created to light the world, light the world. Get ready to clap. 3, 2, 1, yes! All right. You are created to be the light of the world, or perhaps you're created to clean up a mess. Thanks. Can you just vacuum the stage for me? Is that the first time you've ever turned one of them on? It's amazing, hey? You can thank me later, Jamie and Lisa. I've just given your daughter a demonstration in how to turn on a vacuum cleaner. So if you hold that end there and you push it back and forth, Give her a hand. She did a great job. High five.
Thanks, Courtney.
So there's more than enough length in the lead to achieve what its purpose was to achieve. And we know that if you grab the end of the lead and it doesn't get to where you want it to go, then what do? You get so far, don't you? And you get stuck, and what do? Well, you yank it. Don't you? Who does that? Callum's over on the front again. I love it when Callum's on the front. And you yank it and you get frustrated. Who does that? Who gets yanking and frustrated? Right? By the way, it doesn't help. I don't know why you people do that. It's so weird. But what you're supposed to do, what is more helpful, what is a better metaphor for life, is when you find yourself falling short, when you find yourself getting stuck, when you find yourself not being able to do what you know you can do, then it's time to stop and to just go back and to figure out where did things go wrong? Where do we get tangled up? And this is my illustration this morning that I want everyone to get, because I believe every single person here was created with a plan and a purpose. Every person has more than enough to achieve what God has for you. And if you're falling short, which, by the way, can I just say, is the definition of sin, isn't it? For those who know what sin is, the definition of sin is to fall short of the glory of God, to fall short of the purposes of God, to fall short of what God had in store and in mind for you. And I think sometimes when we fall short, we get frustrated and we start tugging and getting crankier and more frustrated. And what I'm suggesting we do when we're falling short is we go back and we say, God, I'm not sure where and I'm not sure when I got this tangled. I'm not sure where and I'm not sure when this became knotted up. I'm not sure where and I'm not sure when we got this problem in my life. But God, I want to give this problem to you and I want to ask you that you would help me untangle and unknot my life. And I've been pondering this all through the week. For me, some of the knots in my life are the issues of rejection. For me, some of the knots in my life are the issues where I just never feel like I measure up. For me, some of the knots in my life is no matter how hard I'm trying or how hard I'm pulling, there's something back that it's really good if I can just stop and just track back a bit and go, God, where did I become knotted up? Where did I be? Was it when a teacher smacked me? My mum's on the front row today, so I had to bring that story up for you, mum, just so you know, you know. Was it when my mum put me down? I don't know why she's laughing, hey? Was it when your first girlfriend walked out of your relationship or when your wife left you? When did the knot come into your life that stops you being all God's created you to be? When did that happen? And how do you navigate this? How many people feel like they fall short of what God's called them to be? Just put your hand up. Man, I think nearly every hand is going up at some point. How many people know that they're created for more? They know they're created to achieve something or accomplish something, but they seem to be striving and struggling and pulling and yanking against something back there that they can't see. It's this that I want to start to talk to you about this morning. I'm going to come into the scripture. That'd be good. All the Christians said amen, Phil. That'd be fantastic. It'd be wonderful if you could use scripture. I've never seen you do that before. I do sometimes use it. I'm just going to untangle. I'm going to wrap up the lead so I don't fall over it. I know that would be comical for some of you, but it's not. See, the truth is that when God created you, He created you with more than enough potential. and more than enough ability, more than enough reach. But it's sin and trauma and pain and stresses that get in your way and tangle you up and knot you up. Jesus, as he was coming toward the end of his ministry career on this earth, he's about to leave his disciples. He's about to leave his disciples with the greatest commission and charge that anybody has ever left somebody with. He's about to leave them and tell them to go into all the earth. And now that you are disciples, I want you to go and make disciples, and I am going to be with you, and I'm going to empower you, and I'm going to equip you, and I'm going to strengthen you, and I have given you more than enough to get the job done. So if you're falling short, if you're not making it to where you feel God's calling you to be, it's not because God's made a mistake. It's not because, well, I must just be useless. I'm just a terrible person. It's not that either. Can I suggest that it's because there's some knots in your life that need to be unknotted? There's some tangling up in your life that God wants to untangle today. There's some stuff back there that God wants you to look at and give to him so that he can untangle it. As Jesus is coming to the end of his ministry, we find this incredibly strange story, a narrative, if you will. Jesus is walking along in Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. It says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. As he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and he found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' And immediately the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither away so soon?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but you will also, but also if you say to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Who's read that story? Put your hand up if you've read it. What a crazy story, right? What a crazy little narrative. You read that story, you know, come on. All the really super Christians are like, "Oh yes, I understood that story." It's like, really? The story doesn't make any sense at all. Just think about it for a minute. What was that word you used this morning, Dan? Where's Dan? What was that word you used? The H word. Hydrostatic? Is that a car? What is it? Hypostatic. Both man and God. Good word. Take notes. Hypostatic. Jesus is both man and God. And he comes to a fig tree that's got leaves on it, but no fruit. And so he curses the fig tree. The disciples are amazed that the fig tree dies. And then he says to the disciples in this seemingly normal discourse, "Oh, I tell you the truth. If you believe in God, you know, you can tell this to die. And in fact, you could even tell a mountain to be pulled up and thrown into the sea." And they went, "Oh, yeah, that makes total sense." Just like we do, right? Like, come on, that doesn't make any sense at all. That's the weirdest thing in the whole Bible. Not the whole Bible. Jesus is God. What do we think? He was so hungry. "I'm so hungry. And then I got to this tree and there was no fruit on the tree, so I just killed it." It sounds like a petulant child, not God. Is that what Jesus was doing? Was he just hangry? You know how we get hangry? You know, he was just hangry, and so he just killed the tree. There you go. No one's going to eat fruit from you again. Sucker you, like that. Oh, what? That's a weird story. Oh, no, no, no. In fact, if you go over to the Gospel of Mark, Mark 11, 13 says, "And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. okay, so the creator of the entire world has no idea what season it is. Is that what you're telling me? The creator of the whole world didn't know whether it was fig season or not. Is that the truth? No, no, no. The creator of the whole world can feed 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, but if he gets really hangry, it's all over for the fig tree. Or the creator of the whole world, no, he wasn't hangry. That's not gorgeous Jesus. He wouldn't do that. The truth is Jesus just didn't know when fig time was. What? Has anyone else ever read this story? Are you reading? And then he goes from this story of killing a fig tree for no reason at all, so it seems. And he says to his disciples, I tell you the truth. If you believe in your heart, you can tell the mountain to be thrown into the sea and it'll happen. And they're all like, yeah. It's a great, come on. Who wouldn't have been nudging each other going, what is he talking about? Do you have a clue what he's talking? Do you know why they knew what he was talking about? Because they were Jews. That doesn't make them smarter. It just means living parables were a lifestyle for them. Jesus would often use things in everyday life to show them a prophetic truth or a parable. Jesus would use things in everyday life, and every moment was a teaching moment. This is not because Jesus is hangry. This is not because Jesus doesn't actually know what time of figs it is. Jesus wants to teach his disciples something important at this moment in time. And I want to say to you, Jesus wants to teach you something important. This is the moment where you go, wait a minute, does this make sense? Not really. We should pay attention a little bit more. One of the metaphors you could read into this is Jesus says, I'm hungry for more than just leaves to be shown to me. I'm looking for fruit. I'm not looking for you to turn up to church. I'm not looking for you to say, I memorize more scripture than anybody else. I'm not looking for you to pretend to be a Christian and to demonstrate how green and lush and lovely you are. I'm looking for fruit. That's a good metaphor. It's a great metaphor. He says, man, you got to understand, I'm hungry for something deeper than surface level leaves. I want something a little more. I want something with sustenance and substance to it. I don't want you to tell me how you're a Christian. I want you to show me with the fruit that you bear in your life. We've been saying for the last few weeks, Jesus isn't interested in our church attendance if that's all we have to offer him. He isn't interested in how much we put in the offering bucket if that's all we have to offer him. He isn't interested in how much scripture we can quote or how religious we can possibly be. What he's interested in, the goal of Christianity, is to become like Christ. So that when he sees beneath the leaves, he sees a fruit that will last. For 2,000 years later, we're still talking about him. That's fruit that will last. 2,000 years later, what he accomplished, we are still discussing. That's fruit that will last. He's not looking at the leaves. He's looking for fruit in our lives. But I think there's something even deeper to this story. Can we dig a little deeper? Is that okay? It's a living parable. And we started this month off by talking about how in the Garden of Eden, everyone go right back in their minds to the Garden of Eden. And we said in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve ate the fruit. And immediately their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked. And what did they do? They sewed what? They sewed what? Everyone say it one more time. Fig leaves. Actually, I lied. It's one more time. Fig leaves. They sewed fig leaves together to camouflage and hide themselves from the presence of God. They sewed fig leaves together. I think Jesus' metaphor goes beyond just the fruitfulness that he's looking for. I think that's a great metaphor. Can I say, Jesus' metaphor is he's cursing something that we all have in our life today. He's cursing fig leaves that we use to cover ourselves up. He's cursing the fact that we're willing to hide from each other and hide ourselves from him. It's a parable and a prophetic word that comes right the way through. What's happening in Jesus' world right now? In the story, they're walking towards the temple. What's the temple? The religious institution. Where's the temple sit? Peter and I went there in 2014, on top of the mount. On top of the mountain. We're going to do that one more time. You all play catch. On top of the mountain sits the temple and the institution for the religious beliefs and practices of the day. And Jesus is walking with his disciples toward the end of his ministry. And he wants to leave them a lasting message that they will never forget. So he's not just going to say it, he's going to act it out and demonstrate it for them in their very presence. And as he's walking along, he sees a fig tree with only leaves and no fruit. And he says to the fig tree, "May no one eat fruit from you again." And it dies and withers from the root up. And the disciples are amazed. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done." Jesus is not cursing a fig tree because he's hungry. He's not cursing a fig tree because he doesn't know what season it is. He's cursing a fig tree because he's sick and tired of seeing his people hiding behind leaves. He's cursing a fig tree and he's painting a prophetic message that says that temple that has been the stable part of your life is going to be cast into the sea, because I don't want you hiding behind religious rituals anymore. I want you to step out and step into my presence and actually bear fruit. Can you hear that this morning? This is a prophetic word, and we try and understand it 2,000 years later, and our brains don't think the way that... Remember when Jeremiah was preaching, and he'd get the cloth, and he'd put it inside the mound, and then he'd pull it out, and it'd all fall apart? It's a living prophetic message. You remember when, was it Elijah or Isaiah, one of the others, Ezekiel, and he laid on the side, and he ate food cooked over cow poo and human excrement and stuff like that, and everyone went, "Ooh, yuck." Living prophetic message. Jesus is giving his disciples a living prophetic message that says, "Hey guys, we're going to curse the very thing that you've been hiding behind." Why? Because, are you ready? Because when we're tangled, we like to just cover the mess in the leaves. And Jesus is saying, "Listen, I can't heal you when you're pretending to be all good. I can't fix the problem of fruitlessness in your life when you're pretending that you don't have a problem." And he's inviting you to get rid of these. He's inviting, man, I'm praying. Oh, you know, can I just say, all week, this has been burning in my heart all week. And I have found myself on multiple occasions just sitting at the back, enjoying my devotions and pondering life. And as I'm pondering my life and I'm looking over the length of my life and looking over the shortcomings and the times that I've fallen short and the times that I've made mistakes, and I'm saying, "Jesus, I don't want to be hiding these from you anymore. Jesus, I don't want to be pretending that it's all okay. Jesus, I want to bring to you the knots and the hurts. I want to bring them to you, and I want to say, Jesus." So literally, I don't know whether anybody else does this, but I literally use my imagination while I'm sitting in my prayer time on my back veranda, and I imagine Jesus coming along and looking at my life and searching beneath the leaves, searching beneath the facade, searching beneath the religious rituals that we go through and finding the knots. And he's so gracious. You know, You know, he's not angry with the lead, right? Did someone, you know, when the lead's knotted, it's not the lead's fault, right? He doesn't come along and go, well, it's a stupid, useless lead. I'm just going to be using this one from now on. But that's not him. His heart is to come and to take the knots out, to find them, and with his hands of grace and mercy and compassion and kindness, he just begins to undo the knots. And the very things that were keeping you bound and held back, he begins to undo. But he only can undo them when we're not hiding them from him. He can only heal what we don't hide. First question in the Garden of Eden, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Does God not know where Adam was? The omnipotent, omnipresent creator, omniscient creator of the entire universe. He spoke the worlds into being. He spoke and things transpired, but he didn't know Adam, where Adam was? That doesn't even make sense. He was inviting Adam to come out of hiding. He was inviting Adam to come out of hiding and to say, Father, I sinned. Father, I've fallen short. Father, the enemy deceived me. God already knew all that. You know, God already knows where you're at today. He already knows what mistakes you've made. He already knows what errors have transpired in your past. He knows everything. Man, he knew everything about his disciples. He knew who would betray him and who would stand for him. He knew who would make a difference and who would run away. He knew everything. And he is constantly inviting you to come out of hiding and to stand before him. He's giving a prophetic message that says, I want to curse the very leaves that you've been hiding behind. I want to put a curse on them so you will never use them again instead of fruit. And all week long, been bubbling in my heart. I want to see a church full of people that are brave enough to be transparent. I want to see a church full of people that are brave enough to come and say, Alex, I'm struggling with this sin. Would you help me? And sometimes the Bible says that you can pray for your brother and he will be forgiven. Sometimes we take it and we give it to someone and we say, man, I'm struggling. Sometimes we don't need to hand it to a brother, we just hand it over to God. We say, Jesus, would you forgive my sin? Would you cleanse me? Would you untangle me from my rejection, from my hurt, from my pain, from my sin, from whatever it is that you've struggled with that you feel has held you back and made you fall short of God's plan for your life? I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I'm going to finish this morning with a call to action. I'm going to finish this morning with an altar call. I'm going to invite you, those of you who feel that there's knots that are still holding you back, those of you who feel as though your past is still holding you back, I'm going to invite you to come and present your life, your whole life, into the hands of God. You know, we often say that part of being saved is to say, Jesus, come into my life and make me born again. What does born again mean? It means I want to be just like I was when I was first created, with no knots, with no tangles. You know, you don't get a lead off the shelf that's already knotted and tangled. That happens as life goes on. And he says, I want you to be born again. If you're born again, you'll see the kingdom. If you're born again, you'll live up to your potential. If you can invite me into your life to discard the fruitlessness, to discard the leaves, to stop hiding behind the top, stop hiding the knots behind the leaves, and just come and give them to me. I'm going to ask this one, everyone stand to your feet, please. was pondering this through the week. I'm sure many of you have experienced a tangled, knotted lead. That's a pain. And do you know the easiest way, by the way, just so you, this will help somebody in a very practical sense. Do you know the easiest way to untangle a lead? Not to do it in the cold early morning or the late at night. It's kind of locked up. You know, the best way to untangle the lead is to go outside and put the lead in the sun and expose it to the sun. And as the sun warms the lead, it becomes malleable. It becomes pliable. The knots come out so much easier.